happy to announce that the Fretboard Journal now has three presenting sponsors. These are three brands that are behind us with everything that we do, including the podcasts and the videos, and they include Carter Vintage. Carter Vintage Guitars, where guitar lovers go for a good time. Gibson Guitars, only a Gibson is good enough. And last but not least, Martin Guitars. Martin Guitars and Strings remain the choice for musicians around the world for their unrivaled quality, craftsmanship, and tone. Can't thank these three brands enough for being presenting sponsors. Thank you, guys. Welcome to the Fretboard Journal podcast. I'm Jason Verlinde, the editor of the Fretboard Journal magazine. And as always, that's John Rauhaus playing in the background. Today we have a pretty unique episode, even by our standards. Chris Luquette and Trey Hensley are on the show, two of the finest flat pickers around. Chris, of course, plays for Frank Sullivan and Dirty Kitchen. Trey has played for pretty much everyone, including Johnny Cash, Marty Stewart, Earl Scruggs, Ricky Skaggs, on and on. And then midway through the call, as if that weren't enough, Gene Parsons, yes, the Gene Parsons, joins us. You're probably asking yourselves, what the heck is this podcast all about? And I will tell you, Preston Thompson Guitars, our friends down in Sisters, Oregon, are going to start offering Parsons string benders on their acoustics as an upgrade if you want it. I know this has been done before on a few one-off guitars. I've read about them online. I have yet to see a string bender in an acoustic guitar in person myself, but Thompson's taking it seriously. They have a resident luthier on site who was trained by Parsons himself that's going to be installing these. You're going to hear Christine Funk from Preston Thompson Guitars interject a few times. She helped shepherd this call along. This is a crazy story. I love things that are different. This is definitely an out-of-the-box move. And frankly, I love that, and I love that string benders exist in general, and most importantly, that the legendary Gene Parsons of the Byrds is the guy behind them. So this was a pretty much a no-brainer call for us to have. I was eager to make it. I hope you enjoy it. Before we get to that, a few announcements. I just want to share, if you listen to this video, if you hear us for the next half hour talk about this thing and then you're wondering, what's it actually look like? What does it sound like? We shot a video down in Nashville with Chris and Trey on a string bender equipped Thompson guitar. So check that out. That's on fretboardjournal.com. And while you're there, you may want to download the latest Truth About Vintage Amps podcast. We are up to 16 episodes of that show. And if you haven't checked it out yet, I will encourage you, you're probably going to want to start with episode one, because it starts out with Amp 101 and it progressively gets deeper and deeper, although it's basically car talk for guitar amps. So check that out if you haven't yet. And of course, we also have another podcast, Luthier on Luthier, which you should check out if you are into hearing about the craft of guitar making, if you are a luthier yourself, or if you may want to be a luthier. So much great food for thought on that show. While we are talking about luthiers, this episode is sponsored by Roberto Venn. And for 40 years now, they've been down there in Arizona teaching folks who want to build, repair, and tech on guitars. And they have such an incredible program. They have a 5-month program for folks who basically want to change their lives and focus on guitars. And then it's an immersive class where you're building guitars, you're working on repairing guitars. You learn basically everything you need to know to make that career change. And then they have shorter classes on pickup winding, pedal building, you name it. So many of their grads have gone on to work for Collings or Marden or any of these other big companies that we feature. So check them out. They are at robertoven.com. And then last but not least, I do want to give a slight plug to the Fretboard Journal as the publisher as well as editor of this thing. Recently, Mad Magazine folded. That was a huge inspiration on me. Make Magazine, another beautiful magazine that came out quarterly, folded, as did F Roots, a great music, folk music magazine, and a bunch of other publications. It is not easy publishing in 2019. So if you love what we're doing, if you love this podcast, if you love the Fretboard Journals that you've noticed or you've seen or you've read about, or maybe you just like our online content, I will encourage you to subscribe and support us. The cheapest and easiest way to do it is by getting a digital subscription to the Fretboard Journal, which is just $30 a year, no matter where you are in the world. If you want to go deeper, if you want to hold the tangible physical object that everybody covets, you can get that print subscription for $44. And I just would love it if you would do it. If enough of you do it, it would have a huge impact on a tiny publishing house like ours, and it would allow us to do even more podcasts and videos and more fun stuff. And most importantly, it keeps us immune to whatever's happening in the advertising or newsstand landscape, which is important. I want to be able to keep doing this for another 15 years, keep putting out the Electric Guitar Annual, which we have a new one coming out in October. I just want to keep sharing these stories with you guys. And the easiest way to show your support is by subscribing. So go to fretboardjournal.com, click on that subscribe tab if you haven't yet, or if you let your subscription lapse, and it would mean the world to me. All right, without further ado, here is our conversation with Chris and Trey and, of course, Gene Parsons. And again, check out that video on fretboardjournal.com because a string bender and an acoustic guitar, who knew? It's a cool thing to behold. Thanks, everybody. Hey, Trey.
Yeah. How's it going, Jason?
Good. How are you?
Doing all right, man. Doing good.
Enjoying the cold Northwest?
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a fun trip, man. We started in Bakersfield, and so, yeah, we went from warm to cold pretty quick.
Yeah. So are you and Chris playing together a lot these days, or what's going on?
Well, this trip is so Rob and I are doing kind of a co-bill with Frank and Dirty Kitchen, so... Yeah, we, kind of have a big jam-a-rama at the end. But, yeah, Chris and I need to do a couple more shows together. That'd be fun.
It would be. So we shot some video at IBMA, I guess it was, of this incredible acoustic Preston Thompson guitar with the B-bender inside of it. And I have a feeling the minute people see this video, they're going to have, you know, it's going to – people are going to be asking more questions than it answers. So I thought I'd talk to you guys about how it came to be, why it came to be, and all that good stuff. Can you shed some light on it?
Yeah. So I guess a couple years ago, Rob and I were playing in Mendocino, and I met Lee Ryder and Gene Parsons at the gig. They just happened to be at the show. And so I met those guys briefly after the show, and they just kind of, you know, mentioned that, yeah, I knew Gene kind of immediately, and, you know, his legacy with the Birds and the Parsons White Bender. And so the next time we were in Mendocino, they brought out Lee's, I think it was a 48 D18 that had a B-bender put in it.
Okay.
And I had that guitar for probably a year, and then Chris had it. And then I think I just mentioned it to Lee, because he was talking about, you know, finding a guitar company to put these benders in, because they were wanting to do, you know, more acoustic benders. And, you know, just kind of mentioned Preston Thompson, and they, you know, made that connection and talked a little bit. And yeah, they've got this great guitar that's got this bender in it. And yes, yeah, very cool. It's actually fun.
Had type of
about a month ago. And the guy that was producing it came in and said, that sounds like you got a bender in that guitar, but you can't have a bender in an acoustic guitar. That can't be a bender. And I said, yeah, it's got a B-bender in it. And even after I showed him, he was just saying, no, that's not a bender. And it's so cool, but it definitely gets the attention, you know, when it.
And the producer is right. The Supreme Court has not legally ruled that benders are allowed in acoustics, but we really don't care. We're going to do it anyway. Thing.
Yeah, that's the fun part of it. Yeah.
So structurally, does the guitar have to be modified, you know, internally to withstand the B bender pressure and all that good stuff?
Not nearly as much as you would think.
Yeah.
The question I always was getting when I borrowed the our friend Lee's D18 was if it was heavy or restricting sound in any way. And Gene has designed the acoustic bender to be feather light. It's unbelievable. It does mount to the neck block, and then it goes through the B slot at the bridge. But the guitar, it's all installed through the sound hole. And Gene is pretty amazing at how he's engineered this and designed it to work in the most efficient way possible. And so that's amazing. And so no major modifications except the obvious one at the bridge. Feather light. So it's really amazing. And it's almost like a piece of art looking inside it to see how this thing is engineered. And the one, at least the acoustic bend, the two acoustic benders I've played on, yeah, it's like works of art looking in there. You know, it's really wild and just it's amazing.
It's really steampunk or something. Yeah, and I think the entire mechanism weighs less than 8 ounces or something like that. So it's very light. I mean, it doesn't really add anything. Because I played a electric bender that Fender made back in the early 2000s, but I had one 5 or 6 years ago, and that thing was a boat anchor. I mean, it's just so heavy. But Fender guitars are kind of heavy anyway. And so, yeah, I was wondering whenever they mentioned that they had an acoustic bender, it's like, oh, this thing's going to be heavy. And I was really shocked when Lee brought his D18 the first time. And even this, the Thompson is way lighter than the D18. I mean, Thompson guitars are light anyway, so it was definitely a very light guitar,
Yes, the Thompson mahogany guitar that has the B-bender in it, I feel no added weight whatsoever. Yeah. It feels in place exactly like it should, a dreadnought style guitar that sings and is amazing, and then you've got this musical capabilities, So it's a cool tool.
Yeah, I want to know the story. This is probably better, more for Lee, but like that was a ballsy move putting one in a 40s D18.
Yes, the guitar he owns specifically, even before he owned it, it had had some repair work to the point that it was playable, and it's a great guitar. But it was easy, it was not like, oh, this is a pristine vintage Martin, we're going to try this. So that there was the added benefit of that. But at the same time, it was not a totally destroyed guitar either.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a perfect candidate. I did play one or two chords one time on a Fender acoustic guitar that was in great shape, probably made in the 80s sometime, that was in great shape. And Gene put it in there as well. But yeah, there's of course the common idea of like, wow, if this guitar is, pristine and brand new, why would you put it in there? But, that shouldn't be a question. It should be more about the musicality of the feature on the instrument.
Yeah, and I know, speaking of vintage Martins with Benders, Lee tells a story about, I know Marty Stewart has a couple of acoustic Martins with Benders in them and that Gene has installed. And I think one of those is a pretty vintage. I mean, like maybe a 40s, D18 or D28 or something. I don't know the exact year on that one, but I know he's got a couple of Parsons acoustic benders. So, yeah, it is a pretty big move, but it's pretty cool to have.
I think that kind of plays into the idea. If you're somebody who owns old Martins and you're not totally comfortable doing that, having the idea of Preston Thompson Guitars making a guitar that has this as an option is kind of cool, to have on the market.
Yeah. Well, you guys, obviously, two of the greatest players in the guitar world right now. Where are you finding when you're soloing or playing out, when are you actually using the B-bender functionality? Does it fit in different parts of a song more often than not? Or how are you using it to kind of season these songs?
Yeah, I mean, when I first started playing the acoustic bender that Lee had, I think it was super fun to play on, like, Doc Watson, like Black Mountain Rag or something like that. It was really cool to have those long bends that would normally be a slide, and I think that was kind of the way I was using it. I mean, heck, when I first got it, I was using it on every song, like every solo. And not that there's anything wrong with that, but
I believe there's a disclaimer on the String Bender website. Careful, this may be habit forming.
Yeah, it is very forming. I mean, but if you listen to Clarence, playing electric guitar, it's pretty subtle, and it just it's just a cool thing. I mean, it's not necessarily going to be for every solo, every song, but it's nice to be able to think. I mean, it's, when you're playing a solo, would it be cool with this added, function? And I started thinking more every time I was playing, it doesn't really necessarily change the way you play. You just seem to think about it more often or something. I don't know. But,
you've got it. You want to use it. Speaking for myself, I have not toured with one. When I borrowed Lee's D18 for a year, you know, it was around the house, and I would play it as often as I could. And then I would travel, and I just logistically I couldn't travel with extra guitars for whatever reason, you know. But yeah, sitting around jamming, it really, you know, like when you're, you know, you hear musicians talking about practicing and trying to get outside of your comfort zone. Having an acoustic B bender definitely pushed me just sitting around to like, okay, try and find new ways to do it. And of course, it is the B bender itself is a very expressive thing. I think that's kind of at the end of the day how it kind of became into existence. You know, Clarence White and Gene Parsons looking for a new way to kind of have that pedal steel style expressiveness. You know, and so for me, musically speaking, I was always looking for how can I use this to just really add some sweetness and some soul and some character to the lines, you know. And then, of course, you start playing faster lines. And another little techie note is that the B bender in the acoustic that we had is a long stroke, you know. So it's to pull it down with the strap button, it's not so long that it's inconvenient, but it's a motion, and you have to time that rhythmically, you know, and you have to get a feel for it. And know that you're bending a note. It was tuned for a whole step, you know, so a lot of bluegrass phrases can tend to be half step hammer-ons or whatever. So, you know, to find that, find your way around that navigation was tough, but in a great way, and opened up totally new things. And of course, combining the bend with other notes, oh man, endless possibilities. You know, the next thing you know, you look down and it's 3 o'clock in the morning and you go,
yeah.
And Jason, I didn't know you were going to call Gene, but I know that he was waiting. So anyway, I just didn't know if you were going to add him into the call.
Can try.
Hello.
Gene, hey, Gene, it's Jason from the Fretboard Journal.
Hi, Jason. How are you?
Good. Trey and Chris are here, along with Christine from Preston Thompson.
Uh-oh. That means trouble.
You've never even met me, Gene.
Oh, but I just know somehow.
So these guys have been telling me all about how cool this acoustic B bender is on the Preston Thompson guitar that they've been kind of sharing. I'm curious. We've already written about you in the magazine and everything, and your story's been well told. But what was the original inspiration for trying to come up with an acoustic B bender in the first place?
So you want me to tell you a story?
Yeah, go for it.
I will. Well, the inspiration came from Clarence White. Clarence and I were doing a session, probably with the Gosden Brothers or with somebody like that, and we had just laid down a track, and Clarence was going to do a lead line over the top, overdub it. And one of the things that Clarence was an innovator of is on a Telecaster is chiming either the first string or the second string and then pulling it over the nut up a full tone. And, of course, you have to do that in an open position. And on this particular tune, he says, boy, I wish I had a third hand because I'd like to do this at on the four chord and the five chord. And I said, well, I'll be your third hand. And we played around a little bit in the studio, and he'd chime the string, and I'd pull it over the nut, and he'd go up the neck with his left hand. And we didn't record it because it was, you know, just a little bit too crude, but that sound, we heard the sound and went, uh-huh, wow. And so Clarence looked at me, and he says, well, you're a mechanic and a machinist. Figure out a way to do this. And I said, oh, it's simple. We just put some steel guitar mechanism on there and some cables, and you have some foot pedals. And he said, no. He says, figure out a way to do it where I don't have to take my hands out of their stance. There's no gizmos hanging off the guitar. I don't want to play a pedal steel guitar. I want to play a regular guitar. I want it to just go in the case when I'm done. And I thought about it. Well, there was a guy down in San Diego that used to do a volume swell. He had the shoulder strap attached to a lever that was hooked to the pot, and he would, you know, spring loaded so that it would return, and he would dip the neck and make his volume swell rather than use his little finger like most people do. And I thought, aha, there we go. That's the way to do it. And I got called up Sneaky Pete and said, you got any extra steel guitar pieces laying around? And he did, and I drew up some drawings and figured out a way to make the thing and presented it to Clarence, and he got another guitar to play while I worked on the one that he had there. And we used some steel guitar mechanism, and I lashed together a string bender, and that's the very one that Marty Stewart plays today.
Yeah. And how about for the acoustic guitar? I mean, it sounds like from talking to these guys that this thing is, you know, pretty lightweight. It sounds like maybe it's been pared down a little bit since that first one.
Well, back about 25, 30 years ago, and that's one of my biggest regrets, is that I wasn't able to get an acoustic string bender together before Clarence passed away, was taken away from us. Because I can't even imagine what he would have done with it. It would have been wonderful. But I wanted to put one in an acoustic guitar, and I started out with using a pull hub like you have there on the Telecaster. But it had to be made light, so I made it out of plastic with a little stainless steel shield around the outside. And that worked out pretty well. I used aluminum and magnesium inside the guitar. And the very first one, we actually, David Matlin built the guitar around the string bender. We put the string bender in, and he just built the guitar around it. But then I said, well, this is not going to work for a customer's guitar, for, you know, if you want to put one in a Martin or whatever. So I came up with a way to put it in through the sound hole, got rid of the pull hub, because it was bearing on the top of the guitar and shunting away some of the tone of the guitar. And came up with the idea of going into the B bridge pinhole and have a very small but efficient and strong pull lever. And so the whole thing is made very airy so that sound travels through it. It's not a big hunk of stuff inside. It's a very lightweight but strong apparatus that screws onto the neck block. It took about probably 10 years of experimenting with different ideas before we finally came up with a final design, which we're pretty happy with.
And does the acoustic guitarists are very protective of their bridge plates. Does anything need to be modified when you put these in an old guitar?
If you put it into, you do have to put a slot in the side of the guitar where the strap lever can come through in the upper bout. And that's reinforced, and it doesn't take any sound away from the guitar. And where the bridge is concerned, you've got to put one little bitty slot in the B string pinhole to allow for the travel of the pull lever or pull mandrel. And there's no modification to the top of the guitar at all. The top of the guitar remains original and retains all its sound. And oddly enough, I've had some guitars on the bench that didn't really sound that good, and when we put a string bender in there, they started to come to life. I don't even know why, but they...
That's amazing. Approximately how many of these have been put in an acoustic guitar? You must have a rough number.
You know, I would say probably 150, maybe 200.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I know there's a story about Marty. Marty sent us a guitar, a D18, and he said, I want you to put a string bender in this. And I said, okay. And he said, there's a little history behind this guitar. And I went, there is, okay. And he said, yeah. He said, this guitar played the first G run ever recorded on the Uncle Pen album. And I said, oh, my God. And he said, you want me to put a slot in the side of the body and everything and put a string bender in there? And he says, yes, I do. And I said, well, it's a historic guitar, Marty. And he says, well, let's make a statement, he says. And he plays that guitar all the time, and I'm pretty amazed at how how he does play. He's an amazing musician and an amazing person.
What year is that, D18?
I don't know what year, probably 30s.
Wow.
Very old.
Yeah. Crazy. And it sounds like some people send you guitars to install this, but a qualified luthier could install this on their own, or do all the guitars kind of funnel through you?
Well, so far they've come here. We're not really into mass production at this point, although we're on the cusp of it. We're having castings made up and so on and so forth, and I believe we're going to be going into production with the Thompson guitars. And it's not something that anyone can just put in. Even if you're a qualified luthier, you're going to need some instruction. It's not rocket science, but there's some little subtleties that have to be adhered to. And I pretty much have been the only one that have done these particular units. I guess there's some people out copying and done some other kind of string benders for acoustics, but I think ours is probably the most successful ones. Mm-hmm. Trying to answer your question here, I don't. It's not something you could send a kid out to someone and have just anyone do it. It would have to be a qualified. Once they're put in, they're robust and problem free, but they've got to be put in right.
Yeah. So talk to me about you're kind of partnering up with Preston Thompson Guitars, which is why we're having this call. Was this something you've wanted for a while, to kind of have a relationship with a acoustic maker so that guitars off the shelf could be installed with this?
Well, I haven't really pursued it over the years. Taylor was considering at one point doing it, but they were very interested in it, and so was Martin. But they were so overwhelmed with keeping their production schedule up, they decided not to go with it, because it just would have taken a lot of time from... They had more orders than they could fill already, so they weren't looking at another way to make their lives more complicated.
Sure.
But we'd like to have these out there to more people, because... we really like to see what musicians do with them, hear what they do with them, and I think it's a product that should be available to more people. And we're excited about our collaboration with the Thompson Guitar Company. And Christine, I know I haven't met you yet, but I'm looking forward to meeting you. Pretty quick, we're going to have to get up there and meet, gaze into each other's eyes face to face here.
Right, and we got to get one of our guys trained. So that's, Jason, that's on the docket to send them down.
That's on the docket. Yeah, and we did do one installation on a Thompson guitar, and I took some notes. We're going to be making up a bunch of components that conform to the Thompson guitar specifications. And we'll train one of the fellows up there. I had a conversation with one of the folks there at Thompson that sounded like he's pretty savvy. And so that's definitely going to happen here in the near future.
So you'll be training somebody in Sisters so that not all the acoustics will have to go through you?
That's right. What they'll do is while the guitar is being made, rather than have to work exclusively through the sound hole, they'll do all the fundamental moves of the installation with the back off the guitar, and then it'll just be a simple matter of installing it once the guitar is completed.
Great. Very cool. Gene, you're a legend. While I have you on the phone, I'd be a dummy if I didn't ask, what else are you working on? What are you tinkering on? What are you inventing?
Well, we've got a couple other projects related to stringed instruments. We're somewhere along the line, if I can get time, I want to do some research and development and do a decent string bender for dobro.
Oh, wow.
And I know Buck Owens, right before he passed away, wanted to have that done and asked me to do it, and then it was just 2 weeks later he passed away, unfortunately, but I'd like to follow through with what Buck wanted to do on that. As far as pet projects that I have, I'm into steam power. I like making steam engines, so that's what I do for fun.
How big are these steam engines?
Well, some of them are stationary engines and boilers. I make miniature steam locomotives, 1/8 size, weigh about 500 pounds.
Wow. That's quite a hobby.
Whistles. I like making steam whistles, too, and driving the neighbors crazy with them.
Very cool. I can't wait to see these in person.
Well, boy, me too. Thanks for the call, and it's a pleasure talking to you, and nice talking with you, Christine, and look forward to our future adventures here.
We do too, definitely. Everyone at the shop, and Preston, and David Pito, who's going to be the one to learn how to put them in. So thanks for the opportunity, Gene. We're very thrilled about the history of the beam bender, string bender, and Clarence White, and you, and Preston couldn't be more excited.
Well, and I'm honored to have a partnership with such a wonderful company as Thompson Guitars.
Well, thanks. Thanks very much, and I appreciate Chris and Trey trying them out and doing some videos. And, yeah, we hope to get them in the hands of other musicians and have a few floating out around there, around the world.
Yeah,
of music.
It's amazing to watch what these guys do with them. Fascinating, right. and a thrill. Yep.